Wednesday night service, and particularly tonight, I just kept telling Pastor, we're going to study the Bible. Is anybody ready to study the Bible? There's different graces, there's different flows, different anointings, and I really believe the Lord put something in my heart for tonight. And it's hot off the press, so praise the Lord. So I know y'all are ready. I'm sure that many of you are like me. This morning, or actually it was a few days back, you know, you wake up with maybe a scripture rolling around in your heart, or a phrase, just you wake up and this phrase is just there. And that happened to me a few days ago. And last night, Pastor even said to me, he said, have you got anything for tomorrow night? And I was like, I think I might. I think something's going on the inside of me. And what this phrase was is, go to the rock. Does that make any sense to anybody? Go to the rock. Now, often people will say about a person in their life, they're my rock. And that, what does that mean? Well, that means that they can depend on this person. And if you've been coming here very long, or you saw the announcement, heard the announcement on Sunday, you know that on next Tuesday, Election Day, November 5th, my husband, your pastor, is going to turn 74 years old. And I must say, he is in great shape physically, and he's even in better shape spiritually. And I'm thankful that he has been my rock in many, many times in my life. And we do that for each other. But it's good to have someone in your life that you can say that about. They're my rock. They're my stability. I know I can always count on them. But even people with the best of intentions will disappoint us. They'll let us down. Because guess what? We're all human, ain't we? We're all human. And there's nobody in here perfect. And so we do our very best. But we cannot always be there for people. We cannot avoid disappointing people, but because no person can be the source, the true source of our joy and our peace, and certainly not our strength. So you know me, my oldies, I always talk about, you know, people that listen to the oldies. My oldies are gospel songs that I grew up singing. My oldies are hymns that are just embedded in my heart. And some of you may know this song, that when I had that phrase going around, go to the rock, I immediately thought of an old song. And I think his name was Lionel Harris that used to sing with Sandy Patty? And he sang this song, and many people did. But let me just give you some of the words. I can't sing it for you, but you're going to like these words. Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to? Who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no fountain stable? And then this is why I can just hear him singing it. You can YouTube it. It's awesome. I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain, he stands by me. Now listen to this part. It's awesome. When the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And what is our rock's name? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Our lives as believers can't be built on a person. They can't be built on a political party. And it's not about a donkey or an elephant. It's about the Lamb that was slain for us. He is our sure foundation. Jesus is the rock that won't roll. I know you've heard that over and over, but still good. Jesus is the rock that won't roll. So we're going to spend some time tonight. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures in the book of Psalms, but we're going to start out with this one in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. And I want to read it out of the NLT. Trust in the Lord always, For the Lord God is the eternal rock. This word eternal in the Hebrew is O-L-A-M, and it means long duration, everlasting. There's no end to our eternal God, the eternal rock. And then that same passage out of the Amplified. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Lean on Him. Hope confidently in Him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. He is the rock of ages. That was Isaiah 26:4 in the Amplified. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. He is the rock of ages. The rock of ages truly describes our God. Book of Revelation says, who was, who is, and is to come. He is forever and ever. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the author, the finisher. He's the in-between. Hallelujah. He never, ever changes. There's no beginning and there's no end to Him. He can be trusted. He can be depended on. He can be relied on. He never, ever changes. He is the rock of our salvation. Now, a rock depicts something that's strong and firm and unshakable, a gigantic rock. And today, as I was preparing this message, I just had this visual that we here in the Bay Area, we have a visual of a rock, and it's called Alcatraz. I don't know if they've got that picture up there. There it is. Alcatraz. And I just looked up some stuff about Alcatraz. Keep it up there for a bit. It was known, or still is known, but back when it was an active prison, it was known as the Rock. It has had several different uses down through the ages. In 1869, it was built, there was a fort built upon this rock. And then in 1861, it was converted to a military prison. In the 1930s, it became a maximum security federal prison. And the question was always asked, did anyone ever escape? Well, you watch the movie and you decide. I don't know. There's no proof either way. But it was a strong, it represented a thing that people could hardly escape from. Probably didn't. And down through the years, things have been built on top of this rock. They changed. But the foundation, the rock, has been there for centuries. Centuries and eons of time. It's a firm, immovable foundation. You can take the picture down now. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is our firm foundation. When all around is sinking sand, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. David had such a revelation of the Lord being our rock and our deliverer. And so I want to look at some scriptures tonight that will encourage our hearts. I may skip a couple up there in the booth, but you all are good. You'll track with me. So let's just take some time tonight to be encouraged. Are you thankful that we're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who never changes, That picture of Alcatraz, I mean, that's a big rock. That looks real secure. But we are on a much more secure rock than that. Our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the psalmist David. So we're going to look at a lot of scriptures in Psalm here. The first one we're going to look at is in Psalms 18. And as I was reading that today, in my Bible, the heading of Psalms 18 says, "A Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song." Psalms 18 is a song unto the Lord. And that day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So he wrote this song after he had experienced a great deliverance. Anybody in here ever been delivered from something? And I'm not talking about, you know, an addiction or whatever, which you could have been. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But has the Lord ever delivered you from an accident? Has the Lord ever delivered you from a physical attack? Has the Lord ever delivered you from maybe somebody breaking into your house? I don't know. Yeah, Pastor Nancy has a testimony of that. Yes, thank God for his deliverance. So David was pumped up the day that he wrote Psalms 18. And he was so thankful that the Lord had delivered him from his enemies. And that the Lord had delivered him from the hand of Saul. So it gives us a new light when we begin to read this. In verse 1, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength." Now read verse 2 and 3 with me. They have it on the screen. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Can I get a hallelujah? That should not only be David's song of deliverance, it can be all of our song of deliverance. We've witnessed the hand of the Lord. And if he has individually delivered us, when I read this today, I was thinking, okay, Lord, we've called upon your name. You are worthy to be praised. So shall we, the citizens of the United States of America, be saved from our enemies. There's enemies that have been arrayed against our nation, and their very goal and their intent is to bring such division and cause our nation to fail and to fall. But our God will deliver us. He has delivered us. His hand has been upon our nation. Many times our nation could have been destroyed. Some of you were alive during the 60s like we were. That was a very turbulent time. But God, he delivered us from the hand of our enemies, and he will continue to do so. We're not going under. We're going over. Hallelujah. Because the bedrock of our nation, our Constitution, was established upon biblical terms. Hallelujah. Biblical scriptures. It's the base and it's the foundation. So that tells me, even though it doesn't look like it all the time, our nation has a firm foundation. It's the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is our fortress. He is our strong tower. He is our place of protection and refuge. Don't you love this scripture? In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and we are safe." Glory to God. We have a place of safety. We have a strong tower that the enemy can't penetrate. It's called the secret place of the Most High God. And we abide under His shadow. Hallelujah! We're safe. Glory be to God. Let me give you some more scriptures here. You want some more scriptures in Psalms? There's a lot of them. You might want to just do a word study on our God, our rock. Just put in our rock and you're going to get blessed. Psalm 62:2 in the Amplified. He only is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. I shall not be greatly moved when all around me is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be shaken. Why? Because I am fixed. I'm established. And I am settled on the word of the living God. Read Psalms 112. The established heart. That's who we are. We're settled and fixed on our firm foundation of the Lord Jesus and His Word. And His Word is true. He is not a man that he should lie. His Word is His bond. His Word is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. This might not be very nice, but I'm going to say it anyway. Would to God that politicians could say that. That their word is their bond. It must be exhausting to keep track of all of the false statements they make and try to explain all the lies they have told. It's awfully quiet in here. But we need people of integrity to be in office. The highest office in our land needs a person of integrity, that their word is their bond. There was a day, even in our nation, I remember seeing it as a kid growing up with my dad. If my dad, John Edwards, said something, that he was going to do something, all he would do is shake a guy's hand. They didn't have to have a contract. Nope. They didn't have to have an attorney present. Nope. Because everybody knew John Edwards' word is good.
Amen.
If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Yeah. It's going to happen.
That's right.
What to God that we had leaders again in our nation that their word was their bond. That they would swear to their own hurt if they broke their word. Well, that wasn't in my notes, but it is so anywho. It is the truth. So anyhow, let's look back here at the Psalms. Let's look back at what David had to say. Psalms 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. That same passage, Psalms 27:5 in the NLT. For He will conceal me there. When trouble come, He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Don't you like that? He will place me out of reach on a high rock. As I was studying today, this phrase came up in my spirit. We may be living in a time of trouble, but we don't have to be troubled. We may be living in a time of trouble, but we don't have to be troubled. Do you know that there are people that are having panic attacks and anxiety attacks, and they're so worried and they're so worked up over if the election goes this way or the election goes that way. You know, however it goes, God is still God. God is the rock of my salvation. God is the source of my peace. And on the other hand, I'm declaring it, it's going to go God's way. Figure out what way is God's way. It's not that hard. What way lines up with the word of the living God? Selah. Stop and think about that for a moment. Anyhow, maybe I shouldn't have been home all day praying, but I, okay. Yes, I was. Anyhow, he said here, he will hide me on a high rock out of reach of the enemy. He may try, but he can't take us out. He may try to silence the church, but we're lifting up our voice in strength. And our voice is being heard. Hallelujah. Moving right along. Psalms 94, verse 22 in the NLT. But the Lord is my fortress. My God is the mighty rock where I hide. Anybody getting this tonight? Who is our rock? It's our mighty God. Hallelujah. Woo. The rock. But the Lord is my fortress. My God is the mighty rock where I hide. I like that word fortress. He's described God in so many different ways. But I like the word fortress. I was thinking about it. As kids, we would go out into the woods on our 160-acre farm. There were a lot of trees, and there was this one area where there were a lot of rocks on either side. And what did we do? We built a fort there. And this fort was like a safe place for us. We might be playing hide and seek or some other game, and the intent of the game was get to the fort. If you get to the fort, they can't tag you. If you get to the fort, you're not out. If you get to the fort, you're safe. And that is what this scripture is telling us. Jesus is saying, I am your fort. I am your safe place. Get in me. Get inside the fort and lock the gate. Don't let the enemy in. There's a place of refuge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you. You are our fortress. You are our safe place. You are our hiding place. Thank you, Lord. You have set us on a high rock out of reach of the enemy. The attacks have come. The attacks may come. But remember, you plead the blood of Jesus. You lift up the standard of the word of God. You use my mighty name. And those weapons will not prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You are the safest of the safe. In the shadow of the Almighty. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. You are the Lord God. And we do magnify your name. Hallelujah. Now, the psalmist David had some other things to say in Psalms 18. And we want to look at some of those here. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I already read Psalms 18. Yeah, but this is a different verse. Verse 46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my what?
Rock.
Say it again. Blessed be my what?
Rock.
My rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Don't let the problem be exalted. Don't let the financial crisis be exalted. Don't let the disease be exalted. Don't talk more about the attack, more about the disease than we're talking about the God of our salvation. Let Him be exalted. Glory be to God. That word exalted, I looked it up in Strong's, and in the Greek it says it's R-U-M. I think you just pronounce it room. Close, right? Room. And it means this: to elevate, to raise, to bring up, to exalt, to lift up, to hold up, to make high and powerful. Listen to this part. Since God is the highest and He is the most high, El Elyon, He cannot be higher than He already is. However, He can be exalted and raised in our understanding of Him. He's not going to get any bigger. He's not going to get any higher. He's not going to get any more exalted than He is. But how many of you would testify to the fact from the time that you first got born again until now, has God got bigger in your eyes? Yeah. I know He has mine. Has He been more exalted in my life? I know He has, because I've gotten greater revelation of who He is and how much He loves me. And that's what begins to happen. That's why it's so important that we pray the Ephesian prayers, even over ourselves. Ephesians 1, 17 through 21. Ephesians 3, pray that the eyes of our understanding, what would happen, be flooded with light, so that we could see that even that how big He is and how much He loves us. Folks, there's so much in this word that we do not understand yet, that we have not discovered. There's ever increasing knowledge available to us. And that's what this means when it says He can't be any higher than He already is. However, He can be raised and exalted in our understanding of Him. Everybody lift your hands like this and say, Lord, increase my understanding of how great, how awesome, how mighty, how good, how gracious You are. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the Most High God. He is our place of refuge. He is our place of peace. Hallelujah. Now let me ask you this, as we've got a couple more scriptures here. Has anyone ever been tempted to be overwhelmed? Has something you've ever faced, I mean, all of our hearts right now, if we allowed them, could be overwhelmed. Even Jesus talked about in the last days that men's hearts were going to fail them for fear of what they see coming upon the earth. That sounds like getting overwhelmed. If you're not in that place of refuge and safety in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not wrapped up in the promises of God, you could be having panic attacks. You could be overwhelmed. And David, again, he knew what it was like to feel overwhelmed. But I'm so thankful that this is in the Bible, because we know where to go, who to talk to, and what to do. The psalmist David said in Psalm 61, we're going to read verse 1 through 4. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to You. This is what I want you to see, verse 2. When my heart is overwhelmed, what does He do? Sit down and cry and fret and get sick over worrying? No, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me. Here it is again. A strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Selah. Amen. Selah. Stop and think about that. He had the opportunity. He said it came. His heart was overwhelmed by bad news. And he had things happen in his life that were horrible. But what did he do? He said, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm not going to get underneath the burden. I'm not going to let the problem over consume me. When I'm overwhelmed, dear God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. If the only thing that we're looking at and the only thing that we're listening to is all the junk going on around us. If we're fixated on the news and all the natural reports and the polls that are going up and down and all of this stuff, we will be discouraged. We'll be defeated. We can get depressed. And we will be overwhelmed. But people of God, we're called to a higher standard. We march to the beat of a different drum. When we're tempted, we go to the rock that is higher than us. We go to the source of all things. We go to the one that always declares the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, verse 3 here in the passion of this passage here in Psalm 61. Lord, you are a paradise of protection to me. You lift me high above the fray. You lift me high above the fray. What does that mean? Well, I looked up the word fray, and it means this, to show signs of strain or stress. Some of the synonyms are battle. You lift me high above the battle. You lift me high above the conflict. You lift me high above the dissension and the strife and the hostility going on in our nation. You, Lord, will lift me above all of the noise that's going on out there. One last scripture. You're going to like this one. Psalms again. Psalms 46:10 out of the message. Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at all of the politicians. No. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. I thought I might get an amen on that one. Above politics. Above everything. So to pray above the fray, we must go to the rock that is higher than us. Higher than anything. Above everything. We must do what this says. Take a long, loving look at Him. Our high God, at Him, our strong tower, at Him, the rock that is higher than us or anything else. Amen? Well, this is what we're going to do right now. We're all going to stand. Praise the Lord. I trust you got something out of all those scriptures. The word is good. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to close tonight before, well, we've got other things to do, but we're closing this part of the service. PT, if you guys want to go, that would be great if you want to come to the platform. But this is what we're going to do. That phrase, take a long, loving look at me, your high God. Again, words to an old song came up in my heart today when I read that passage. Take a long, loving look at me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Some of you in here, maybe some watching online, you've been distracted. It's been a real battle not to be distracted. But tonight we're going to give you the opportunity, just for a few moments, to refocus. You know, sometimes you go get your eyes examined and they put all those little things on you to see which one looks better. Does this look better? Does this look better? And some of them are completely out of focus and it's just like, ugh, it's so blurry. It gives you an almost instant headache. Some of you need to refocus. Your vision's been blurry. You're not looking at the right thing. You're looking at the situation. You're looking at things that are going on in your family. And, you know, we all have things. Every one of us go through stuff. But the difference is, how do we act when we're in the middle of it? What do we focus on? What gets all of our attention? So I just want to take a few moments. You know that one, don't you, PT? We're going to sing this old song, but it's an anointed song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So I don't want anybody looking at me. Don't look at PT. I literally want you to close your eyes. If you need to, lift up your head. And turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full.